Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Bill
Burt
Podcast. Stayed on you for the whole thing. After you said Burt. What's going on, everybody? It is July 5th. Happy birthday, America. You fucking lost Great Britain.
I
fucking kicked your ass, and you never came knocking again. Actually, didn't they? They came again in 1812.
This is the best part of this podcast for me, is I'm going through the news, I'm looking at sports, and immediately I go, I got to ask Bill.
Oh, nice. Ask me. I don't know shit about American history. I don't know shit about women, and I don't know shit about sports, but it doesn't stop me from talking. Having an opinion. By the way, you fucking talked about it enough. I went out and I got one. I'm going to do a taste test. Bert Kreischer on the last one brought up this fucking thing that I passed over like a fucking, this thing in my world was like, it was like me looking at a redheaded chick, you know, that I don't even see it. It's just a reminder.
I've got so many Heath bars.
I don't even know what this is. I'm not insulting redheads because I am also orange popsicle color. I was just like, I don't need more of that. I have that at home.
Can you bring me a Heath bar in from the tour bus?
You have one on the tour bus?
I have.
I want to see what this is all about because I brought this home and my wife went into falsetto when she saw it. She's like, you got a Heath bar? I love Heath bars. I'm like, what the fuck is with these things? So here we go.
All right.
Taste test. The official Izod taste test. We're getting some money on this podcast.
Good crunch, good flavor, a little bit of butter.
Don't be insecure. Let me enjoy it. Let me make up my own mind. Ooh, that's tasty.
Yeah, right?
This is like a good cigar where there's the initial flavors. I hate cigar fucking, you know, when they do the reviews, the second they lay it, I'm tasting some cinnamon. I hate that shit. You're tasting some smoke, you fucking asshole. These are delicious.
It's like a candy bar for grown-ups.
These are under fucking rated, and these will pull your fillings out.
Yes, they will.
Wow. Yeah. Woo, I don't know if I can eat a whole one of these.
That's why I like to break it, Bill, and leave it on a plate in the middle of the kitchen and just go by and have a little snack throughout the day.
You know what Italians call that? You know what they call you? You're a Govan.
What's that?
I learned that from Verzi. That's that guy who's just eating to eat. Just walking by, shoving shit in his face. You're a fucking Govan. Hope I'm saying that right. No disrespect to Italians out there. All right? I love The Sopranos and understood why it was offensive all at the same time.
It would be great if you were saying a racial slur and unknowingly.
I wouldn't put it past it. And then Heath had to apologize. Fucking it. All right, you know what? I sign off on that. They're fucking difficult. You can't have a conversation when you have one, though.
So I'll tell you what happened. We were in Oklahoma City on tour, and they had – have you played at Spokane, the Spokane Comedy Club, or at Tacoma?
I've done colleges.
So the club there, the owners, have an array of chocolates and treats and snacks. Like, the whole green room is set up for –
Can you say array again?
An array of – snacks and treats, every candy bar, every it's like Bobby Kelly and my wet dream of a green room. They got arcades, great clubs. And so we're in Oklahoma City and they got all the candy bars. So I grab all the candy bars, I lay them on the couch, I take a picture of them, everything they got in the room, and I said, what's your top five? And then what's your never pick, right? What's the one you'll never pick? And so I put my top five, and it was Heath, Snickers, I forget, it was whatever was there, but my never pick was Milk Duds. I just write Milk Duds, right?
Oh, Milk Duds. And the only time you ever had them was Halloween, and they came in that little box, and it was fine. You just ate them to eat them.
Like, you got four, like rabbit shit. So I go to sleep. We have a few pops, go to sleep. Wake up the next morning, Milk Duds is trending on Twitter. It's trending because everyone is trashing Milk Duds based off my tweet. And then Milk Duds gets in the mix. Milk Duds, Hershey's, Kit Kat, Skittles, Jolly Ranchers, all their Twitter feeds start lighting me up. What the fuck's wrong with Milk Duds?
Oh, are they all in business together?
It's all under the Hershey's umbrella.
And you so then fucked with one of the big families in candy. That's what happened. That wasn't even a New York crime family. That was Chicago.
And then I came back and I said, I know what you're doing, Milk Duds. You had to have your two big brothers, Kit Kat and Hershey's, and your little sister, Jolly Rancher, come after me.
That's right. That's like the fucking weak act on the roster. And they go, listen, you got to book Milk Duds or you're never going to get Bert Kreischer again. All right, we'll give him a weekend. The week after the Super Bowl weekend. You got to do better than that.
Yeah. So, but Heath was my number one. We don't have any. All we have is Hershey's on the bus.
Hershey's, delicious.
Yeah, so
I like the almonds, but, you know, sometimes I like the surface area of the original milk chocolate. I just feel like I'm getting more. And just because there's almonds, all of a sudden, you know, the square footage of the candy bar goes way down.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So, yes, I wonder if there's
– I don't think you'd like what I was saying. Just
that, almonds save you calories.
Huh?
I wonder if those almonds save you calories because it's less chocolate.
I don't know, man, but I think you're this close to curing COVID. Dude, that is like some weed talk. Hey, man, do you like think because there's an almond there instead of more chocolate, like you could eat this and still have a flatter stomach than if you ate the bigger one? I was disappointed with the amount of people that don't share, because I saw that Twitter thing. I mean, it was all over it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, why is Milk Duds trending? When I found out they weren't in trouble, then I posted the Denzel fucking whatever, people always, sorry. I was pissed the amount of people, I was disappointed the amount of people that actually enjoy a Three Musketeer bar.
Yeah.
Which is the Cadillac of a Milky Way. It's just all nougat.
Yeah. You got to be a big nougat fan if you're an old Milky Way.
I've looked up nougat before on my own podcast.
Milky Way is for like middle, like grade school kids. Grade school kids like Milky Way and Three Musketeer. You graduate.
I thought it was for poor kids that couldn't afford the peanuts in a Snickers bar.
No, eighth grade is when you turn into Snickers. You're like, I'm going to graduate to Snickers. And then when
Snickers
you're in your 50s,
is the IROC-Z. That's the IROC-Z, and the other that one there is just like the fucking standard Milky Way's a standard Camaro, the rally sport.
So then a Heath bar is like a Jaguar.
A Heath bar is a bit of a sleeper. So I would put this thing. This is the Mercedes-Benz AMG wagon.
Oh,
you
wow.
Look at that dad with his three kids, and all of a sudden it just fucking. You know those AMG engines, you can actually meet the guy if you go to Germany who builds it. Like, he autographs the engine.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't
yeah.
do that on a Chevy or a Ford, unless it's Carroll Shelby. He puts his name right on the dashboard. That's my dick and balls under the hood there, Freckles.
Yeah, I was, we had started that conversation last week talking about candy bars, posted it. And I was like, oh, shit, this thing's going fucking viral.
Hey, can you tell people about your amazing tour bus? I mean, I'm seeing a wet bar. I'm seeing a marble fireplace.
Yeah. Well, we upgraded. We got this one from Ron White. This was Ron's.
That's amazing. It looks like a double wide, dude.
Yeah. No, this is – I'm in quarantine.
What's the matter?
I just got off the road. And so quarantining for a few days until I go back to my family.
Aren't you supposed to stay for 14 days?
No, not really, because I got corona tested, and so it came back negative, and so I'm just going to give myself a couple more days and pop
up. Nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to see a comic can actually do the road and be responsible and not come back with COVID.
We all tested negative, eight of us on the tour bus, zero. I'm not trying to start beef with any of my buddies who got COVID.
Come on, you got the guns out. I want to hear you talking some shit here.
Let me tell you something, Shab. Let me tell you something. No, it was just, it was zero contact. We were 100% zero contact, like obsessive. Everyone had masks on at all times. You do your spot. We were very.
So it can be done.
It can be done.
If you love your fan base more than you love yourself, like those two angels doing the Lord's work, trying to bring the country together with fist bumps. the fighter and the kid, then you could actually have a problem.
Fucking Brian Callen, if you fist bumped me, or and then he goes, how did I not know that it would be right here?
Oh, is that what he said?
He goes,
I'm only making fun because I know that they're young enough and they're both in phenomenal shape, particularly Brian Callen. If we could just talk about Brian and his physique, because I know that he's sick right now, so somebody has to be talking about his amazing physique.
Each of those calls is an ab workout for him.
61 years old to still be like, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, 61, great eyelids. Have you seen his eyelids lately?
No, I haven't.
Oh, he got some work done, and it looks nice. He looks really young right here.
Edit that out. Don't tell him that he got plastic surgery.
No, Bill, it's very. Everyone knows it. He was wearing sunglasses on his podcast.
Like he had just gotten into a title fight and defended the belt. You know what? That's a Hollywood fight right there. You get your eyes done. You come in, do the press conference with your shades on.
Callen's the best.
If you had to do one elective oh, Jesus, your eyes just lit up. One elective procedure for looks that you feel would actually, that they have the procedure down enough. Because sometimes people get their eyes done and they look weird for a while and then they live with that. It's going to settle. It's like, is it going to settle or am I just going to get used to the new you? That weird sort of like, how like this is like as white as me, but like you actually have pigment, you know? What is the one plastic surgery procedure that you think would actually enhance your career and that they and it's got to be a combo and they actually know how to do it. They practice on enough fucking faces. It's got to be your face.
I mean, obviously I go with hair transplants. I would love to do fucking like Joel McHale style hair transplants. His hair.
Why are you outing everybody?
He wrote about it in his book. He talks about it openly. He talks about it totally openly. He has no problem.
Is what you're going to do for the whole podcast? Oprah Winfrey has a plastic vagina. Brett, what are you doing? Oh, she talked about that on The Tonight Show. Oh, okay. Then I get dragged into this shit?
No, his hair is awesome. Like, I would love to get – it would be cool to have one last run of hair. Like, just, like, fucking just up and
– I understand that. Let me ask you this. One last run of hair. What haircut are you going with? Your final week of hair.
I mean, I would just go straight long. I want hair down to here. I want to pull it back. I want to put it in a ponytail. I want to get up out of the water. I want it to be everywhere.
What are we talking? Yoga instructor? Or are we talking a keyboard player in a metal band?
No, we're talking sidekick in Point Break. One of Patrick Swayze's sidekicks. That long hair.
Oh, so you got the little highlights.
Yeah, highlights, and it's just like. Kind of curly.
Shaking your head no so the chicks catch it in the corner of their eye. I see what you're doing.
Flying down the highway in a Jeep with it just going everywhere. I think if I had long, I think if I had a full head of long hair, I would actually want to work out more.
I love when you talk about your hair just going everywhere. You can't control it, man. You're like a Mustang out there.
I can't. Okay, here's the question. If you could give Bobby Kelly one style of hair, what would you give Bobby? Start from scratch.
Oh, Bobby, I go straight pompadour. And he's losing the weight, but he has to keep the weight on. He has to keep the weight on, and he has to be in like some sort of rockabilly / Don Ho cover band. And he's got the straight up, like fucking up and down like that.
Yeah.
Mutton chops, little too hipstery.
Yeah.
I want people to think that he's not doing it ironically. Yeah. Bobby had a haircut I never saw a man have. When that? I first came in, I wish he was on this right now. I love when he talks about young. When he talks about young Bobby, that's my favorite thing. He goes, "I was fucking gorgeous." Like he talks about himself, like he was like a runway model. He had this fucking hairdo. No, you're not gonna find it. You're not. If you're looking for a picture, you can't. I don't think there's any evidence of it. This is like early '90s when I first met him. He had long black, long black hair, and it was all like corkscrewed down. It was like the haircut they didn't have in Color Me Bad. Like they missed the boat.
He had great hair. I remember when he shaved it, I was shocked that he was losing his hair.
Oh yeah, he Did he pick up? No.
He didn't pick up.
Yeah. He had like a he looked like a wrestler.
Yeah, I was shocked when he shaved it. He was shaved it with Frosty, I think. It was with Frosty.
Yeah, Frosty shaved his head. He had to put his head over the tub or the toilet. I think the toilet. Just fucking. I remember Bobby was saying, I was sitting there, I was going, wait. All right, do it. And I got to tell you something. Ballsiest thing I ever saw that fucking guy do. When after he shaved his head, he went right down to the cellar the next night. He had a hat on. He sat down and just took it off. And he just got it over with. It was unreal. He took his hat off. You know, like when someone did a killer joke on Def Jam and it looked like the sea parted in the crowd? That's what happened.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And they pounded and pounded and pounded. And Esty was the one who finally made him leave. And it was such a good one, I'm not going to repeat it.
Why? What was it?
I can't. I don't want. He gets enough shit. We all get enough shit. Fuck yeah. These trolls. I'm not going to help them out.
Fuck these trolls.
Yeah.
I would like Bobby to have Michael Hutchins hair, the lead singer from NXS.
Oh, man. What a rock.
That guy had a great fucking head of hair.
That poor guy, man.
Lost his sense of smell and sense of taste. And that's
why
he
hit his head. And he was a pussy hound, you know? That's two big ones to lose. You're a pussy hound.
I'm texting Bobby right now. Dude, he got punched.
Right, that hat is like a Division II head football coach.
Bill.
Undersized white lineman.
These visors are so much better than the thin, rounded ones. These are those old school, thick, good visors.
I love those things, but I can't wear them during the day. I can wear it at night. If I wore it during the day, the level. Look how fucking white I am. I have the light from outside. Look at this shit. I mean, this is just like, you know, this is Mount Rushmore level whiteness that I'm bringing to the table.
Look at how dark I am.
Look at the difference. I gave up trying to get any sort of color my senior year. My senior year, right before my senior prom, I went to a fucking cookout. And I took my shirt off and had on Larry Bird short shorts and just sat in the sun for 4 hours drinking. And then I remember I had to put my clothes back on and then go to work. And I went to a warehouse and I remember driving over and all of a sudden my torso just felt like you literally could have fried an egg on it.
Yeah.
And I came in and everybody's looking at me like, dude, what the fuck? And I said, yeah, dude, I think I burned myself. I picked my shirt up and the whole warehouse went, oh! So this was like I think, a week before the prom. So I went through like 3-4 days of agony. And then by the time the prom came along, I felt so bad for my day. Dude, I was like at night, the night before the prom, you know, when I don't know if you've had a level of sunburn like this, but you're in bed, you're shivering.
Yep.
Like going through that shit. I had blisters on my fucking shoulders. Peeling. I mean, I look like an old person's foot. So, needless to say, I didn't try to do anything that prom night. But I just drank a lot. I remember that. I drank a lot, and I just kind of I kind of got through the pain, you know? But Joe Namath used to drink back in the day when his knees were bugging him.
Really?
Yeah, I watched this great documentary on him on HBO Plus. There's a killer one. It's from, like, 2012, so there's some people in there that are no longer with us, and you get like their perspective. But he's really, really open and really talks about his drinking. And, you know, remember that time when he said to that woman on ESPN, I'm so bad with names. He's like, I really want to kiss you, when he did that whole thing.
Yeah.
She was cool as hell. They asked her, like, what did you think? She goes, I was like, I am seeing a really great man in a really bad moment. And she goes, that's why I never talked about it publicly until now, which I thought was really cool, sort of old school thing. You know what I mean? I mean, if that happened now, they would just, you know, all the feminists would just be all over that, being like,
oh, they destroy him. They jump
he
all over.
He assaulted her and he needs the, and here's half a sentence from a DM
I you look at everyone getting lit up right now. Like, do you see Kaepernick?
No, I don't watch that shit. Because what people, individuals are doing, what Fox News and CNN are doing, they're taking information and then they're cutting it up like a slice of bread and they're taking out the shit that doesn't have their, you know what I mean? My thing is, yeah, if somebody's like, hey, like the guy at Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, here's the whole email chain. Now, if the other person is just showing me this much, then obviously, considering there's going to be no trial, you got to be like, okay, well, then my gut's telling me the person who's going, here's all of this shit, versus the people going, here's some of this shit. Either way, accused or what's the other one?
Oh, shit.
Oh, Bobby's here.
We're in camping right now.
You're camping?
Yeah, we're out in the woods.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm loving the white stubble, dude.
Yeah.
Look how good Bobby looks.
Bobby, how much weight are you down now?
40. He's got to be.
40. 40 pounds.
Congrats, Bobby. That is so good.
Dude, you look best you've looked in like 12 years.
Who's this guy?
That's Billy Burr. You know Billy.
Jesus, 4 months off the road and I'm losing all my young fans. I want that as a ringtone. Who's that guy?
Yeah,
we're really going camping.
Max, I've literally been to your house and I've met you.
Yes, Max, you know Billy.
I remember you, but I don't remember you for once.
All right, hang on. I gotta take
Bobby,
care of
that. Hey, Bobby, we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Am I cursing? Sorry.
No. It's all right. You go ahead.
We were talking. I was trying to describe to Bert how gorgeous your hairdo and how original your hairdo was when I first met you.
Oh,
the corkscrew.
All you have to do is YouTube Last Night at Eddie's movie. The opening scene, I pull up on a motorcycle. I take my helmet off and I flip my curls, my little my corkscrews.
Dad, don't flip the corkscrews.
Yeah.
Bobby, you look phenomenal.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm not gonna lie. Last time I saw you, I was like, "This guy is gonna face plant one day, and he's not getting up." So, please keep going.
Don't say that about my cheeky dad.
He's cheeky
remember
dad.
Remember that umpire, Bert? It was really sad. It was warm ups, and he literally turned around and walked to the backstop and just face planted, and that was it.
Yeah.
I think the Philly freak had to back up the four-wheeler and throw him on the back and drive him off.
the Philly freak.
Look at Bobby's backyard. Isn't it amazing?
No, I'm camping. I'm in the KLA.
Bobby,
go
with the lie, man. I want you to get that celebrity hate.
The acres up in Cold Springs. Louis C.K. lives behind me. Yeah.
There you go.
That's Louis over there. My Max, beat it. Get out of here.
Let me. Can you open?
Oh, Bobby, what are those? What are those?
Marshmallows.
No, Bobby, say it the way you used to say it.
I want to hear Bobby say it.
Say it the way you used to say it in your act.
Marshmallows with hot chocolopolis.
You know, I always respected that you kept doing that bit, even after Patrice was giving you all that shit.
Oh God.
Yeah, dude, I will.
Max, hang on. I got to talk to my kid for a sec.
Okay.
Why don't you get back to a great weekend with your kid, and we'll go back to our ignorance here.
Bobby, right. Go back.
Last
go back
night at Eddie's.
We're in the wilderness, guys. Can we start to Zoom?
Back off. Listen, I got to go hang with the kid. I love you guys. I'll see you guys later. I'm not having marshmallows, though. I'm having
I know, Bobby. You're having marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
I love you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, buddy. See you. See you, Max.
Get out of here. I swear to God, I'm going to.
What if you just heard him?
Yeah. Got to have it.
He thought he hung up. Who's this guy? I got to get that. Andrew, can you get that? I want to use that as Bobby's ringtone. Who's this guy?
It's interesting that there's probably some word for it, but we have memories of our friends of their acts from 20 years ago that never leave us. Like little things they did where you go, oh, I'm never going to forget that. For whatever reason, Marshmallows or
Do you know what? I don't have one from your act. I just have a look that you had.
What's that?
And I was like, why is he doing that? He's not that guy.
Wait, what was the look?
It was when you were with Barry Katz, and Barry, for some reason, was telling all of his clients, listen, if you want to be taken seriously in this business, you need to wear an Armani suit. Everyone, all one of my clients, they see you on stage, you look like you're on The Tonight Show, and the next thing you know, you're doing Letterman. That's yep. what he said. And I went down, and I was like, yeah, I'm not wearing a fucking Armani suit. And I went down, and you had on this Joe Pesci silver, I don't know what it was, Men's Warehouse, trying to be an Armani. And then you had like this Caesar haircut.
Yep.
Bangs with the mousse. And I'm like going, this guy is the dude you want to drink with in a bar. He's the frack. He's yeah. I mean, I never thought, you know, he should be shirtless on stage. I mean, you've run the gamut. But that was during the era. I jumped onto this look. Do you remember when everybody had, it was this weird time where comedians and agents were dressing the same? Yeah. Remember, you had that electric blue button down with the black fucking slacks, like Hillary Clinton pantsuit slacks and shoes, yep. and your hair moosed up. I did that for a good 18 months. Got nowhere with it.
And then we all graduated to the exact same look that we all shot on a special. Jeans, black shoes, black shirt, black cut button down.
Yeah, because that's when people were saying, you want your special to be timeless. Don't do any topical material. Don't wear stuff that's going to be out of date. Dude, I just went through this whole, cleaning up my office, and I went through all of these photos and shit, dude. I will tell you, the worst decade ever for fashion, I'm just speaking for white people here, was the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, when it went from grunge into the hip-hop, when grunge combined with the hip-hop bagginess, dude, I have some pictures of me in these giant, like, Linus-looking shirts where, like, this shit here, what is it? This is supposed to be, like, right here, right? The seam? Dude, it was, like, down here. And I was in the best shape of my life. I had abs, and I was walking around wearing, like, a fucking potato sack.
Yeah, the 90s was a bad time for clothing. For me, it was baggy jeans, like the big bell-bottom jeans, raver jeans.
Yeah, those were horrible. All of that shit, you got it down the village, and everybody thought they were so fucking hip.
Yeah, those stores, there was a store on the corner of Cornelia and like West 4th that was just like, I remember one of my buddies came from Tallahassee up to visit, and he walked in and he was like, dude, I just bought all new clothes at this place. I was like, no one shops there. Fuck.
Yeah, but he looked like the man when he went back to Florida.
Yeah, he did.
He probably got gay bashed in Tallahassee. I remember 8th Street was the place where I went. Like whenever I needed the De Niro three-quarter leather jacket.
Yeah.
Dude, I had one that had a zip-in lining. The coat weighed like 30 pounds. It's probably my shoulders are fucked up. All those years riding in coach, trying to reach up and turn the air on, wearing that giant coat because I couldn't take it off. It was like another person.
Yeah, those coats were the three-quarter length leather coats. I still have mine. I got it at Banana Republic, and I remember I put that on and I was like, I finally belong in New York. Like I belong. I put a scarf on. I had gloves. I'm like, I'm a New Yorker. No more Tallahassee. I would have never had this in Tallahassee. I'm here, baby.
Yep. Everything that made me unique in New York, I now look like everybody else. I did the same thing. I still have one. It's a really nice one. I started wearing it down to the comedy store before all this. Over the winter, I was wearing it again. It almost looks like a suit jacket, but it's a jacket. It's a black leather three-quarter. And I was putting it on. I was like, I like this coat. I always ask my wife, I'm like, can I get away with this? And she always says that thing where she squints, kind of looks it up and down. She goes, yeah. And then I have that playing on a loop. And that's why I look like an asshole when I show up.
I'm trying
to be a badass.
Dane had good leather coat game for like in like early 2000s. Dane's leather coat game was, I was like, he'd show up, I'd be like, God, does he have a fucking motorcycle? Where did he get that jacket?
Dane has a sick motorcycle.
Does he? Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He has one of the best looking, I think it's a Ducati, one of the best I've seen. It's really? Fucking gorgeous. Like, it's one of those things, even if you didn't ride, if you just had it in your garage, you could just sit there and look at it.
Oh, I would love to have a motorcycle.
I would too. I'm jonesing for one. I want to get like a dirt bike, but I just, you know, I, but then, you know, I just always think whenever I think about buying, investing in a hobby like that, it's the amount of times, and then I hear the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon.
Wait, tell me about your helicopter ride.
I had not flown in since January. And then the tragedy with Kobe happened, and then my wife told me to stop flying and shit. So I was like, all right, you know, I was pretty shook up. You're pretty shook up when you see a pilot with that skill level that happen. You know, months went by and I just missed it, dude. I fucking missed it. And I loved the challenge of it and the tests and staying current. And it was really like, it was activating a part of my brain. God knows I only use a small portion of it that I never use. So I had a friend of mine who has a friend who has an A-star. You want to see it on the poster over here?
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Okay, I'll show you the one here. I got to turn it around. Turn around right now.
Here, Bill. Yes. I'll show you this. I'll show you this girl.
Oh, look at her.
Bill, someone turned 9 years old yesterday.
Oh, can almost get into the movies for half price.
Yeah, so which one is it?
All right, it is right there, that one.
Okay.
The it's A-Star like a cop helicopter. That's a single. This one here is the twin. It's a single engine. So I flew that. I've flown this one before, but I usually fly that little rinky dink one right there, the 22.
Yeah.
Occasionally a 44, but I flew the big boy there. And I got to tell you, man, fucking, it was incredible. And I have not, and I knew I wasn't going to fly. I was anticipating not even being able to hold a hover because I never fly those things.
Yeah.
And, dude, it just came right back.
Really?
I'm not saying I didn't fly, you know, I'm saying within my skill set, I flew great. And just from doing like the instrument stuff and everything, I was really cognizant of my altitude. My scan used to be really bad, where if I'd look down to change the radio, I'd go down 200 feet or go up 300. Which I know sounds really fucking crazy, but it's
no, it's not. I flew a plane one time, and just the littlest thing like that, all of a sudden you're just in an airplane. I would lose altitude.
Yeah. So with those things, I was finding compared to what I'm used to flying, I felt like I was flying like this to maintain a level attitude. But it's just, and then also with those, I love the helicopter, but I also found like when I was taxiing with it, there's a major blind spot. And I heard that those guys sometimes kind of turn it to the side so they can make sure, you know, because it was like fucking jets and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, like those G whatever's sitting there. So when we got back to the airport, I said to the guy I was flying, I was like, dude, can you take controls? I feel comfortable setting it down here, but he wanted me to get closer to the jets. I was like, yeah, you know, I really don't want to be in a YouTube video. Why don't you, haven't flown in, you know, 5 months here. But I had such a great time. I flew out of Van Nuys. Look at that fucking spider flying. I flew out of Van Nuys. So we took off. I made a left and just got on the 101. Like I was going to Hollywood. And after you get out of Van Nuys, you get on with Burbank. And then you go to the Cahuenga Pass. There's like Universal's like right here. And then the yes. Hollywood Bowl. And then Capitol Records. Went right out over Silver Lake, Dodger Stadium, downtown L.A., looped around all the skyscrapers, like town hall down there. It was so cool. And then even though it was a hazy day, and then I followed the 10. You stay north of the 10, so you're out of LAX's airspace. Then just cut diagonally across, got on with Santa Monica, even though they were closed, just in case there was anybody in the traffic. I'm just going through this so I remember how to do it. Then over Pacific Palisades, up Malibu, and then went over the hills, and then came back down in Calabasas.
Up Malibu is where – that's my – That is so fucking beautiful out there.
Yeah, it's weird though. You kind of cut off from, dude, I saw two fucking houses out there, even from Malibu. It was like, what the fuck? when you see him from the air, there was like two, like on the giant hill, like one was here and one was here, and their yards, like they had like a legit hole of golf, it looked like.
God.
And then they had like, you know, I don't know. I like the old style shit, you know?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what. Yeah. I want.
Did I even tell you about this here in my office? It has a bathroom in there with like a stand-up shower. And my brother came out to visit. So he walks into the house and he's like, he goes, Bill, the hot water's not working. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, all right, I got to get that fixed. So I had to come inside and use our bathroom, right? So I had a guy fucking come in here and he goes, all right. Yeah, like a half hour, comes back to the house. He goes, not only is the hot water not working, it's not even hooked up. There's no hot water line out here. It's like, what the fuck? They put the handle. It was like a dummy handle. You turn it all you want, like no water's coming out.
Really?
So, yeah. So I had to put a hot water. I think I had to put a hot water heater into this part. I can't even. I've spent so much fucking money on this house. I'll never get it back.
I like your house. I mean, your house is beautiful. I like that style. I also like those Malibu. I wish my dream house would be one of those houses where your house is up here, you walk down, and the pool is in the backyard, and it's just a square. It's like a rectangle, simple rectangle with coping and grass everywhere with like tall trees on the side. Like that kind of look that you know, it's like almost like old school estate look. Oh.
You know who's got a great pool is that old Cecil B. DeMille house. Dean Del Rey got me into like houses and shit.
Yeah.
And he likes everything from, I always want to call the guy L. Ron Hubbard. I know it's not that. He's the architect.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah.
I used to live next door to the Frank Lloyd Wright house.
Yeah. He found when we were in Iowa together, he goes, dude, we got to leave this hotel. We're in the middle of fucking Iowa. He goes, there's a Frank Lloyd Wright hotel down the way. And I'm like, really? He goes, dude, I'm telling you, it's incredible. So I was like, all right, let's stay down there. Dude, I went down the bar, got hammered down there. I thought I didn't even know who I thought was going to come walking in, like the legends of Hollywood. And they were going to be like, when they were young, come walking in. It was incredible. Although this guy did talk my ear off and I was shit-faced too. And he was annoying. You know, like when you're fucking hammered and somebody's still annoying you, that's an amazing thing for me because I'm a happy drunk and I was about 8 or 9 in and I was still like, this guy's a chatty Cathy here. Just let me enjoy my drink. So I like the Mediterranean style houses out here just because we never had anything like that back east. And other than that, I do like the craftsman's houses. And then other than that, I like the super modern, just those ridiculous looking fucking, they're all like glass, but there's just like there's hacky comedy. There's like hacky architecture.
Yeah.
Like me and my wife watch those architecture shows and they're always doing the big stupid standalone bathroom. Bathtub right next to a giant window.
Yeah.
Like you want to be showering in front of your neighbors. Like every single penthouse I've seen that. Who'd you just nod to? I thought you were quarantined by yourself.
No, my crew's here.
Oh.
Yeah, we're all quarantined together.
The Bill Burt podcast is sponsored by Heath.
Heath Bar. Yeah, we have the tour bus at the house, and we're living in the tour bus for just a day or two, just to make sure that we don't, make sure there's no residual symptoms, and then we're bouncing.
There you go.
Some people left already, but most of us are here.
That's awesome. And how did the tour go?
It was out of this world, Bill. I got to be honest with you. Probably the coolest thing I've ever done in my career. It made me feel like a legit rock star. Because you traveled with three tour buses. So you had my tour bus, a tour bus for the crew, and then a semi that dragged the stage with us. So we get there.
How did you make any money?
You do. It's you do. Not a ton of money, but you make money. And for me,
I heard how much money you made with the second you do. You go, you do. You do.
So
it went down.
So what happens is you go in, they build the stage morning of, and then they set up a 3-camera shoot. And then they shoot that on a 90 by 90 foot screen above the stage. So everyone's in their car, they're watching the screen, but they can see you. So it's kind of like when you go and do those big venues where they put the screens up and people watch the screens regardless. But it was amazing, Bill. And I think what it was amazing about it was being able to let everyone get out of their house, let everyone know that they're going to be safe. Their safety was up to them. They had an area that was designated for them in their car. If they wanted to tailgate in front or behind, they could. They could keep socially distanced. They could wear a mask. And it was amazing. They'd get in, they'd open doors at 7, and people would start piling in. Show starts at 9. So there's 2 hours where people are smoking meats, grilling burgers, they come in a pickup truck and have it filled with water. In the back, they'd be in the pool. They're throwing the football. They're playing cornhole. They're drinking booze. And then
it sounds like the Opie and Anthony tour to me.
Dude, it was the sun would set. And as soon as the sun set, people start getting ramped up. And then the show starts. And the shows were awesome. I think people were so appreciative of maybe not it not being a big money grab, but letting people go out and get outdoors and live a little bit this summer. I think.
Well, that's good to hear, because the reason why I haven't done any shows is I don't want to get people sick.
Yeah.
You know, because you could literally do a show, and because you did a show, somebody loses their grandparents or somebody with asthma or something. It's like I don't want to, you know.
Well, there's
probably nuts, but I don't want to kill anybody.
I'll tell you this: we did some club shows, and some were done right, and some were done wrong. And you would have to go in to the club and be like, "Hey, I'm not comfortable with this. I need you to." Like, we went into, I'll tell you what, who did it perfect. I mean, a lot of places did it perfect. But Leisha in Des Moines did a soft opening to try to test out social distancing and did it perfectly. They removed all the tables, and then they spotted tables, like, socially distant throughout the room. And it was fucking, I mean, perfect. Everyone was at least 10 feet away from the other person. And so places are doing it right. They really are. Other places are... You know, it's tough because state to state, everyone kind of has their own state's version of what they believe safety is. So the states that are hotspots for a reason. And people are going to bars and they're hanging out in bars. And, you know, despite even social distancing, some people would just move. They'd sit down and then they go, let's get closer to the stage, you know. And so you can't really dictate how an American should live to an American. And that's why I think if I go out, I'm not going to do clubs again. I'm just going to do... just going to do these drive-in movie theaters, because the drive-in movie theaters were fucking safe and they were great shows, like 100% safe. And then at the end, standing ovation, everyone gets in their cars and starts flicking their high beams at you and beeping their horns. It was like you were getting abducted by fucking aliens. Standing on the stage, everyone's losing their mind. They're playing Black Betty from Ram Jam. Everyone's flicking them. And then I get in a golf cart, stand on the back, get a cocktail, shirt off. And we, while everyone sat in traffic to exit, we just drive by the cars and wave everyone and thank them. It was such a great experience.
Oh, wow, dude. That you went above and beyond. That's awesome, man.
Well, awesome. You know, for me, it was like, I didn't think I was going to make any money. I made money, but I didn't think I was going to make much money. I wanted to film it. But more importantly, I knew that I got to a certain time in this quarantine where I was like, I want to fucking do something, man. Like, I'm tired of this. I want to go see a band. Like, if they put a band up at a drive-in movie theater, I'd be there tomorrow. I would love to get more of my friends and do a closeout end of summer festival, like just one show and a great drive.
I'll tell you what, I got a little kid out, obviously. You got a son who's only a month old. There's a drive-in movie theater where Tarantino shot Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. There's one east of downtown LA.
Yeah.
That I've always wanted to go to. You know, if you ever wanted to do a show out there, you know, and then that's also one that you could turn that into a benefit, help some people out, small businesses or something like that. Because we could just drive out there and then come right back.
It literally is. It literally
cost you gas money.
Zero contact. The whole crew is in masks and gloves. The crew backstage. You go on stage, and when you get off, they go up, they grab your mic, pull it, they wipe a brand new mic, put a brand new mic up for you. It is the safest I've ever felt.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the safest I've ever felt. And I texted, like, I've been texting with a bunch of people that have been curious about how these are going. And because I think other people would like to do them. It's just very expensive. Like, you got to be, it's a tough ticket sell, you know? So.
Listen, if you can do something for people that's positive, you know, I think that's a great thing. My thing is, I just have to be home for the first 3 months here.
Yeah.
Once Junior's sleeping through the night, which last night we had a great night.
No.
He was up 10 to 12. He's been rough. And then, like, wow. You know what's fucked was, like, he fell asleep at midnight, and I'm like, I should go to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. I'm fucking on my phone at, like, 1 in the morning, you know, just looking at shit. And then I finally fell asleep, and then he woke up at, like, 3:30. My wife breastfed him, and then it was, you know, it's my job to change him and then get him back to sleep. So I was like, all right. And he just wouldn't go back to sleep. And then he just farted, and I thought he pooped, so I went to take the thing off, and there was no poop in there. So then that woke him up again, and I was like, fuck. And I'm back on the exercise ball, doing this shit. And then he just fucking, and I'm like, oh, fuck. So that was like from like 4 to about 10 after 5. But then once he went down, because I have it down, like what I do is I bounce up and down like this, and then I slow the bounce down. Then I start doing like a rock like this. Okay. And then one of the rocks becomes the stand up.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And the rock becomes the stand up. And then I brought him over to the thing. And I just was like, I was just like, I am just setting him down like I would set down something that I like, an inanimate object. Because I feel like if you go like, and you do that, you somehow roll their head. There's something they're going to wake up. I just went over and I just, boom, set him down, took my hands out. That was it. And I just stood there for like 5 seconds. Did a little, I went right to bed, right? And I was in bed and I slept till like somewhere between 7 and 8. My daughter was just going, Dad, Dad. I was like, I just can't. All right, everybody, Manscaped. Fellas, are you prepared to unveil your summer bod? Manscaped is here to ensure that your post-quarantine body is ready for the wild. Don't be the guy at the beach with a bear rug on your chest. And if you grew some quarantine, man tits, the least you can do is make sure they're hairless. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your body full. Fuck, I suck at reading. They're helping you level up your full body grooming game. Dude, that was such a great joke with the man tits, and I blew it. I'll never host an award show. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. What is that, you ask, Bert?
What is it?
Yeah, the Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the Essential Lawn Mower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This is the best trimmer on the market for those of you in need of a chest shave. This third generation trimmer features skin-safe technology to reduce manscaping accidents. Don't give yourself an accidental nipple piercing. Jesus. You can also adjust settings to get the lengths you like, and you can stay on top of it all with almost no effort at all. They also just launched in Canada.
Oh, great.
For a Canadian. Yeah, with your frozen man tits up there, you can carve a fucking maple leaf right in your chest without using the right... Okay, if you've gone years without using the right tools for the job, you can be one of the first Canadians to experience their life-changing products. Be sure to use their crop cleanser to keep your hair and skin healthy. It's an all-in-one formula, so it's as good for healthy chest hair as it is for your skin. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. Your balls will be gleaming because we know how painful chafing can be when you're wearing your bathing suit all day.
I've got a bit about that.
Huh?
I've got a bit about that in my new hour.
I was just thinking about you running that marathon.
Oh, yeah.
That salve on your balls. You'll also find the Crop Reviver, a testy toner that's designed to give you a pep in your step.
I like that.
I like that too. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new blade refill for your lawn mower trimmer delivered in to your door every 3 months. Oh God, this is like a class I know I'm not going to pass. It's still going. Fuck. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new blade refill to your for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. For a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, a $39 value, and the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Bill Burt here at manscaped.com. Andrew, is here part of the code?
No, it shouldn't be.
So it's Bill Burt, all capitals, at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tool for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Bill Burt at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code Bill Burt. Trim your chesticles with the besticles. All right, I got through it.
I remember Louis C.K. expressed the moment. He was defining the moment from when you put your second child in the car seat and you shut the door. He goes, that moment from shutting the door to getting to the driver's car, that's my vacation. Oh. It was such a great observation. I remember going like, oh my God, that's exactly like that little moment of freedom you have where you're like, I don't have to deal with anyone for like fucking 5 seconds until I get in this car.
You know what I've realized that what being a really good husband and a father is sort of embracing the comedy of your existence where it's like, I don't know how to put it in words, like without pissing fucking women off, but it really is like you have to kind of, like your emotions don't mean anything to anybody. Your kids don't care. The woman in your life isn't going to care. Like, and their emotions are priority. You got to keep your wife happy and you got to keep your kids happy. And it's just like, you know, like just as far as like when people call up and they check in, how's the kids? How's your wife doing? Oh, God bless her. God bless. Oh, Jesus. How's your kids? Oh, they're so cute. Blah, blah. And there's going to be, no one's going to check in with you. And as far as like that joke, your vacation, my thing with that is I just talk to other dads and you know, you just start to tell that story and you just laugh. You just start fucking laughing at the, you're almost, it's this weird thing where everyone knows where you are, but you're also invisible.
Yeah.
It's fucked. It's really fucked. So you have to be like, I figured it out like a couple of days ago and I was just like, no, this is what it is. And this is the way it's supposed to be because this is the only way it works. So man the fuck up, you know, go make yourself a root beer float or something if you're feeling sad there, Freckles. But like, I'm telling you, that is like, that's what it is. Kids are going to jump on you. They don't give a fuck. You're just like a giant, like a bouncy house to them. And then to everybody else, it's just going to, you're going to be like an employee.
Yeah.
Where are
my
you
kids,
going? Could you go get this? Could you pick this up?
I had to explain to my daughters that I'm home, but I can't come home. And they're, you know, they're in high school. They get it, but they're so used to me being a martyr about things like that, that they're like, oh dad, it's okay, dad. We want you to come home. I go, no, I'm, and then they drove over last night and they're sitting in the car and they're like shocked that I'm staying distant. And because I was waiting for the test results 100%. We got them this morning at like 8 a.m. But I'm sitting distance from the car. And I'm like, I'm gonna be in the bus for a couple days. We're gonna hang out here. And they're like, dad, you're being poo-poo pants. And I go, no, stop. I go, this is what a responsible dad does. And I was like, oh shit, I'm being responsible. I was like, Leanne, give me credit for this. And Leanne talked to them about it. And they were like, so wait, he really is making sure that we don't get sick. And Leanne's like, 100%. If he had come home before his test results were in, he would have no clue and it would be irresponsible.
Yeah, being a dad and a husband, you're the left tackle. That's what it is. You're just protecting the blind side and only like total fucking football nerds know the name of the left tackle on their team, but everybody knows the quarterbacks and the receivers. That's basic. Even a defensive lineman makes a sack and gets to do a dance.
Yeah.
So,
Mark Gastineau. Do you ever see the video of Mark Gastineau jumping from the top of his second story house into his pool and diving in it?
He went head first?
Head first off the second story of his house into his fucking pool.
How deep is it?
I have no idea.
Dude, that guy weighs like 250, 260.
And he's in like a pair of short shorts and just, whew, and it, I mean, I was like, oh, he's going to break his fucking neck.
Yeah. That's a big thing in Florida, right?
Yo, yeah, look, big thing in Florida. You go out in a boat. It's always feet first time. And so you go out in a boat and everyone's drinking. You're diving off. Then you guys have a few more beers. You don't know this, but the tide's lowered. And all of a sudden now what was 10 feet of water is now 4 feet of water. And you dive in and you break your fucking neck. You never, never. Feet first time, every time. We were just on.
Wait a minute. But that, you went feet first, but then the tide went down.
Feet first. Every time you get in the water, feet first time. Jump in feet first. Man.
So is there a thing if you're on a boat, if a certain amount of time has gone by, feet first? Are you in the fucking?
No, they're unloading. Program? They're unloading the bus, and so they're coming in and out, unloading the bus.
I'm just seeing, you know, like Cher has a rack of clothes, like a wardrobe. I'm just picturing you with all these different, like, Hawaiian tank tops.
Five of them. I had five Hawaiian shirts. I had a couple visors, some sun hats, and then Bill, my big purchase, my new favorite thing are these short shorts. I don't know if you can see them.
I don't know if I want to see them. Oh, God.
Like, do you remember those?
Who was that Latino boxer used to wear those? The Macho Man. Macho Camacho used to
Macho
wear
them. Macho Camacho. It was like, I love them, Bill. They're like, do you remember Dolphin running shorts when we were kids? They were like.
I tried to stay away from shorts, how white my legs are.
Oh, I love them. I'm wearing these every day. Yesterday, we went to, no, day before yesterday, to close the tour out, to like celebrate. We got a.
You're dressed like an old white woman playing slots.
I got my mask on.
All you need is everything. You just need the cigarette going and like a fucking Miller High Life, whatever.
I'm this close to drinking a beer, Bill. I'm going back on the wagon tomorrow. I'm this close to drinking a beer.
Oh, that's good though. Let me live vicariously through you. What were you drinking while you were out there?
Ooh. I take a if we so we only had like 3 days off. So I'd take a double Tito's on stage with me, a double Tito's and soda on stage with me in a big glass, crushed drive-in movie theater ice, crushed the like popcorn ice. Oh, Bill, fucking filled it all the way to the top, right? Tito's halfway, soda water the halfway, and freeze would go on the outside of the glass from the dew in the night air. It was such a great drink. Have a double Tito's stage. Right when I started, I'd do an hour of new material.
I saw that Dirty Dancing. That was very romantic.
I'd do an hour of material, and then I'd go, all right, what stories do you guys want to hear? And I'd tell two stories, usually Flying Dildos and The Machine. And that's when I'd start drinking my drink. Get off stage. I'd have another one waiting for me. We get on the back of the golf cart, have drinks as you go around and say hi to everyone in their cars. When everyone's in their cars, you just drive by 5 feet away. Thank you for coming. Get back to the tour bus. Now everyone's in the tour bus, right? Everyone's in the tour bus. We got 2 hours till we leave. And that's when you start putting back pops. Like, oh. And then I'd have maybe another double Tito's and soda. And then I go to Beavers.
At night, aren't you paying overages?
Yeah, no. We had it so that he drove every night. So he was sleeping during the day.
Oh, okay.
So we had stuff to do during the day. We went rafting down the Rio Grande. We drove race cars. We did a bunch of really cool shit. But we had a producer in Denver who would call ahead and make sure that everything was distant. So if we rolled into a place, everything was clean. Everything was, no one was there. It was ours entirely. So
that's amazing, man.
I paid a little extra to make sure that everyone was safe because I realized we didn't have an out plan if someone got sick. Like if someone got sick, the whole bus was getting sick and we were all getting coronavirus. So I just said, I'm gonna pay someone in Denver to be kind of like 4 steps ahead of us everywhere we went. And then, so whether it was hotel rooms or activities, everything was all set up, set aside for us. We just walk in, no contact, do it, and then bail out. It was really fucking.
I don't know who your tour manager is, but they crushed it.
Oh yeah, well I have two. I had two on this tour, one on hands and one in Denver. But we did. We went to Lake Sand Hollow yesterday, 2 days ago. To the end of the tour, I said, we have a day off. And we were waiting for our test results to come in, so we didn't want to go home. So I said, let's all go. We'll get a pontoon boat. We'll be socially distanced. We'll be in the center of a lake. We don't have to deal with anyone. Bill, it was one of the most beautiful days I've ever had.
Oh, my God. You know who I want to do a tour? I want to do a run with you, me, Joe Bartnick, and Paul Verzi.
Oh, let me plan the tour. Like, let me plan all the extracurriculars because we did everything. I mean, we had so much fucking fun. It was like just on the road trip, just like you roll into a city and then my producer Stacy in Denver would be like, all right, I got four activities for you guys to do. You guys want to do any of these activities? If not, hang out at the drive-in. There's some days, you know, you get to the drive-in a little late and you just run 5 miles, take the hose, wash off. Oh, it's fucking out of this world. It was so much fun. Yeah. And you know what? You know what's crazy, Bill? Is like, I don't like talking about this shit too much, but to hear like all the guys on the crew individually at certain times go, hey man, thanks for getting me back to work. I've been not working this whole summer. This is going to help. Like those little things where you're like fucking pump money back into the economy, help people keep their shit. I'd tour like that the rest of the year if I could.
Well, let's try to do a,
we'll do a big show in LA.
Show. I'm just nervous too, because I haven't done stand-up since March. I don't feel like going to a just bombing. I want to make sure I do a good job. I have to pace around my garage trying to remember how my act went.
You know what we'll do? I'll get the drive-in movie theater out here and I'll get all of us out there. And we'll each do like 15 minutes. We'll give all the money to a charity and it'll be a fucking, dude, I'm telling you. When you're getting ready to go on stage and the sun's setting and you're seeing people out in their car and they got their seats out and their hoods up and they're sitting in the back of their trucks, you see smoke coming up, people are playing wiffle ball. You're just like, this is America, man. This is like, I got so, so emotional.
Describing like yesterday. Something that's usually painted on the side of a van. The dew's on top of your drink.
Dude, it was so awesome. It was so awesome. I'm like, I'm glad to be home. I'm very glad we're safe. Like it was tough, like right towards the end where you start, like we were in Fort Collins and we went water skiing for the day and wake surfing. So we get a surfboard and you get behind the wake and you surf on the wake. It was fun as shit. We went out late night drunk as fuck and a thunderstorm came in, lightning striking the water. We're like, oh, it was out of this world. But
dude, you just kind of live a bachelor party, I feel like.
Oh yeah. I went all out. That's why this wasn't a very prosperous tour.
Yeah, but you had to have fun. I'm gonna send you a I gotta show you something that I'd seen before and had not looked at in a while. Like, remember I was telling, I think I maybe it was Rogan, I was saying how I like weird shit. You want to see something fucking cool as hell?
Yeah,
I'll pick this one here. How fucking cool is that thing?
Oh, that is fucking awesome.
You see that?
Yeah, is that a Volkswagen?
No, it's a Jeep. It's like a 19, that's 1961. That actually says Willys FC, which meant like forward control. Basically means you're sitting over the engine.
Holy shit.
I would not want to hit a fucking tree in that thing. But I would imagine that thing was like three on the column. That looks like the funnest little fucking thing. Like when I see something like that, that makes me wish I didn't live in L.A., I lived in the middle of nowhere and had some property and I could just drive around in that thing just fucking around. But I know after a while I would go insane. I think if you grew up in the country, you like the country. If you grew up more city, you like the city. So
I want to live on the beach.
Are you going to be you're going to move out to Malibu and I'm never going to see you again, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, if after this divorce, I mean, whenever it happens, who knows?
How much money do you have that you go, after my divorce, I'm moving to Malibu? What, that fucking trailer park? There's a trailer park out there.
In my tour bus. I'm going to move my tour bus out there. Dude, I couldn't leave Leanne. I don't even know my credit cards got frozen, Bill, and because I was traveling. And so I called Leanne. I'm in a Target trying to buy a boombox type thing so we can have it on the boat. And I call Leanne. I'm like, hey, my credit cards are frozen. She goes, just call them and unfreeze them. I go, yeah, I don't know how to do that. She goes, are you being serious? I said, well, I don't know. Just can you do it for me? And she goes, yeah, I can do it for you. But don't ever fucking forget this. I was like, oh, yeah. If I left my wife, I'd be standing in the front yard with my new girlfriend going, can you unlock our credit cards?
Well, you know what happened was all the charges that you had. They were so fucking random. Like you're buying coolers and tequila and fucking, you know, like all this fun shit. They're probably like going, what the fuck is this guy who lives in LA whitewater rafting or whatever the fuck you were doing on the Rio Grande?
That's the one thing we didn't spend any money on was booze.
Was it sponsored?
No, so many breweries hit me up. 85 South, I think it was 85 South. No, that's a podcast I like. 85 is a brewery in South Carolina. They're like just dropped off pallets of beer. Everywhere we went, someone was a microbrewer who dropped off pallets of beer. And then every venue, you'd get a bottle of Tito's. And then they bring in Buffalo Trace, sent some nice whiskeys. Everyone just kind of like sent in stuff. And then I got like a pound of marijuana in Colorado.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I got these joints that are 1 foot long. Like they just gave me, like you go there and I think everyone was so excited that you were coming to like their drive-in or just like everyone was so excited. They just come in and just drop off tons of like gifts. And it was out of this world. I mean, barbecue, people dropped off barbecue. It was out of this world. It was really fun.
Yeah, what's your favorite beer you never heard of that someone brought to you?
Oh, good. This beer is so fun. It's called, I'm going to find out. Give me a second.
Good. I got one for you. I was in Australia, and there's a beer out there called Little Creatures. And the first time I went there, I had one, and it was fucking delicious. And then the next time I went there, I was out in Perth in their brewery. I think their main brewery is out in Perth. And after I visited the Bon Scott statue in his grave, he's buried out in Perth, I went over there and had a show. And I was like, I'm just going to have one. And like three later, I was looking at my wife going, all right, I got to get out of here because I'm going to fuck this show up tonight. But it was...
All right. Dave, what's the beer that we love, the good vibrations?
The one from Hawthorne, the one that I brought?
Yeah, was that... Yeah, what was that one?
It's Food Fight Hazy IPA from Common Space Brewery.
Common Space. Dude, it's in Hawthorne, California, right?
Yeah, I can send you a case if you want.
It is, Bill. This beer is so fucking good. I got really into IPAs. I think because I was afraid I was getting coronavirus and I wanted to make sure I still had my sense of taste. So, but yeah, what's the name of it? Say it again, Dave.
When I'm cooking.
Hazy IPA, it's pretty new. They just came out with it a couple months ago. It's from Common Space Brewery in Hawthorne, California.
Fucking awesome. All right, I'll call you later. Okay? Yeah.
Have you ever been in like Cleveland around Christmas time and they have that Christmas ale?
No.
That's another really good one. And they only make it, it's like, you know, Sam Adams will have like summer ale during the summer. They do the same thing. It's some sort of Christmas ale. I actually tried to get it, a case of it sent to me when we were going to the Rose Bowl because Jay Lawhead's our cook on that day.
Yeah, wait. And, so
Lawhead's from Cleveland, so I was gonna surprise him with like a rack of that shit. He'd be, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
What's his face? Nick Costas from Hilarities was trying to work it out. I don't know if you know him. He's like, yeah.
Of course, I love Nick. Yeah, I love Nick.
He's with the, you know, the going over the state with the liquor laws. I mean, you can't do it. That guy, man.
Yeah, he's a great guy, man. I love.
He was still punching people out at like fucking 70. Yeah. I remember I did a week there, and I was asking him, you know, because the club was just getting going. Dude, that's one place I could have made so much fucking money. When he opened up Hilarities, I was there in like 04. He was the only thing on the block. And like they used to have like a security guy walk you over to the Euclid Ave or whatever it was over to the hotel. And there was like, it looked like Escape from New York. There was nobody down there. And I remember looking at the apartment building right across from it going like, if I had any fucking money, I would buy this.
Because
I was seeing all these Rust Belt towns were starting to come back. And Pittsburgh was sort of leading it, I felt, as far as just like all of a sudden all this tech industry came in there and revitalized the downtown. And of course, now you go there, it looks like the fucking Bullwinkle show on that street. But anyway, I was like, you know, so I was asking, now how's it going? Everybody goes, you know, yeah, it's been good. Yeah, I had a little problem with, you know, this, you know, had a little problem the other night, whatever. And just sort of glazed over it. And then Lawhead told me the story. Some fucking guy wouldn't move his car or some shit like that. And then, you know, he stepped to him and the guy made the mistake of taking a swing at him. And yeah, and the guy was like in the prime of his life, like in his 20s. And I guess Nick had no problem handling him. And I always thought that that would be a great movie, because you true tough guys never really say what they did. You do that. I had a little trouble. And then you smash cut to him just fucking beating the shit out of this guy. And then coming back to him, because he's always dressed like really, you know, old school gentleman type of thing.
I remember being at that club. It was probably the last time I was there. And I was working with a couple younger men, male comics. And maybe it was the second time, last time I was there. And what's that?
It sounds like a Me Too story. And I had my shirt off. There was a couple of young males in there. And
No. Nick was hanging out after the show. And it's my favorite is when I get to hang out with a guy like that and then just talk about the business and talk about, like, what it was like and what it's like looking at, like, all the futures and just talk comedy. And I remember one of the young comics was like, hey, I'm gonna we're all sitting with Nick. And he goes, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go try to see if I can get these chicks to go back to the hotel room with me. And I remember thinking, you'll never make it in comedy. Like, you don't care about this. Like, this is so much more important than pussy. Hanging out with Nick and getting him to talk comedy and tell you just, like, the littlest things. I hung on every one of his words. I'm so much more fascinated by that than fucking any pussy. Like, I was like, oh, you're missing it. Like, this is...
I gotta tell you this, though. You know, there's a little bar there.
Yeah.
Can I ever tell you this story? I'm fucking senile now. I met two amazing women there. It was after the show. I think I was signing DVDs.
Yeah.
It was like the late 2000s. So I'm hanging with Nick and he's telling stories or whatever. And these two women come up to say hello. I'm like, hey, how's it going? And they were, you know, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, the usual. I goes, what do you guys do here? What do you guys do here in Cleveland? And they go, oh, we're gold diggers. And it's like, what? And they both laughed. They go, we're gold diggers. So this is when basically there was nothing going on in Cleveland. And I was just going like, all right, with all due respect for Cleveland, Ohio, where are you digging for gold out here? And dude, they broke down the whole game. Like, I took their number. I was doing this show with Joe DeRosa, uninformed. These are the two lost guests. And there was one guy in San Francisco, an Asian cab driver with the most severe Southern accent I ever heard.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, people out here, I can't believe it. He sounded like Don Knotts. And he was like Japanese. He was just born in the South. And I was like, oh, my God. I got to get this guy. But, you know, Opie and Anthony, I don't know what the fuck happened. But, and then there was these two. So they broke down the whole game. I said, so where do you meet these guys? Like, I want to hear how this whole thing works. She goes, well, you know, we go to steakhouses. And I'm like, of course. That's where old guys with money, you know, that's the perfect, you know, age gap or whatever. They got, you know, you're not going to fucking Wendy's. They go to a steakhouse. And then the next move was somehow they would go to a Cavaliers game. And these guys would try to impress them. So they would sit down courtside. And she goes, and then when you're at the game, you're trying to make eye contact with the player. So they're trying to use them to get to the next thing. And then they had all of these rules where you never drink a drink unless you saw it get poured. And your girlfriend looks out for you. You never go to the bathroom at the same time because she has to watch your drink. And she goes, it would be usually about the third quarter when the guys would realize we weren't going home with them because they would drive separately to Gundarine. Like, they broke. Dude, when I tell you, I sat there for like 90 minutes, like, and I was like, would you guys want to do radio? Would you want to come? And we just had like no budget and it was the usual thing. I got their business card, and then by the time I got back, I had no fucking idea where it was.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
I went to, after a DC improv show, these two lesbians were hanging out, partying, and they're like, at late night, and they're like, hey, we're going to go to a strip club. You want to go to a strip club with us? And I was like, fuck yeah, let's go to a strip club. So, like, awesome. So we go to the strip club around the corner. My opening act was a young lady at the time. It's still a young lady, but she was going to go, and then she bailed. And I was like, okay, then I'll just go with them. And we get there, and they know I'm married, and they give me a drink. And I go to put it to my lips, and I thought, I bet I'm getting rolled. I bet these two women are going to – they brought the drink over. I sat down, and they brought the drink and handed it to me. And as I went to take a sip, I went, this is how it happens. This is how you get drugged and brought back to a hotel room and robbed. And I was like, oh. And I was like, I'm obviously not trying to have sex with anyone. But I was like, that's okay. So I go up to the bar.
Did you take a fake sip or did you say?
No. I go, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I go up to the bar. I hand the drink to the bartender. I said, hey, will you pour me the exact same drink, same glass, just get rid of this one? And he was like, what happened? And I said, someone gave it to me. I don't want it. And he went, oh yeah, no charge. Gives it to me, tip him, come back, have the drink, and they're totally cool. And we get another round. I get another round. And then they look at me and they go, hey, you want to just go back and fuck us? And I'm like, ladies, this is more than worth even just the fact that I get to tell my friends that this happened. Thank you so much. Got up and I walked to my hotel room.
Wow.
I walked out and I just started calling people on the street, walking down through DC going, okay, you're never going to believe it just happened. I called my wife. I was like, these two lesbians wanted to have sex with me. She was like, they were going to drug you and steal your shit. Oh.
Can they ever give it up? Did you just want to be like, honey, what did you ever see in me? They just can't fucking,
Oh.
It's because they love you though, dude.
Yeah.
They can't have you walking around feeling good about yourself. You'll be putting off this vibe and you're going to attract something. So they just can't fucking give it up.
I got in bed that night and I thought, this is such a dork thought to have. But I thought, I am happier that I have a wife that I can call out of a strip club and say two lesbians wanted to have sex with me. And then me and her laugh about it. And she was like, honey, they were going to drug you and steal your shit. I'm happier that I have that than if I had had sex with two lesbians after a strip club. Like, that means more to me that I got this partner where I can be like, yo, these two chicks want to fuck me. And that's my wife. I was laying in bed giggling.
Yes. Yes, the old days on the road, back when you could fucking be out there. This is making me, want to do, there's a bunch of places that, you know, if it didn't involve me being on a fucking plane, like, how did you get out there? See, like, I would love to go do a run at fucking Hilarities, but it's just like, I don't know, that's an inside gig. And then it's also like, I'm going to sit on a fucking airplane with 300 other people because you know they're going to jam you in there.
Yeah, no, tour bus. I took the tour bus from L.A.,
Oh, wait, my legs up.
North Carolina, all the way back.
North Carolina? Wait, you drove a tour bus from here to North Carolina?
Yep.
And back?
And back.
All right, so you gigged on the way out.
Gigged on the way out, all the way. Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Las Cruces, New Mexico, San Antonio.
I had to say that and I'm breaking bad.
Yeah?
I'm speaking out because I didn't know how to say it.
It's an interesting city in the middle of
right across from El Paso.
It's halfway between like Phoenix and San Antonio. So it's one of the stops when you hit across. You always kind of go New Orleans, San Antonio, Las Cruces, Phoenix, and then home. Or I think we can go Las Cruces all the way to LA.
I thought that's in New Mexico.
Yeah, it is.
You saying you go Phoenix, San Antonio, and then back?
No. We went Phoenix, Las Cruces,
okay.
San Antonio, New Orleans, Birmingham.
So you just took the 10 the whole way?
Yeah, we just drove across and then up into Alabama, then into North Carolina, into Charlotte, then Greensboro, South Carolina. Then from Greensboro, we went to Indianapolis, then to Tulsa, then to Oklahoma City, and then to Fort Collins. And then Fort Collins to Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City to Hurricane Utah, and then Hurricane Utah to L.A.
Hurricane Utah is the only one I never did. That's a great name for a city.
That's where that place, we took the riverboat out. We took the pontoon boat out. Oh, I posted a video. I got in the middle of the lake, right? Swam out to the middle of the lake by myself, beer in hand.
Please don't do that.
We took the drone. I grew up in Florida. I can swim really good. Took the drone down.
I know, nobody drowns in Florida. Go ahead.
So they take the drone down from like 5 feet above the water. And I said, happy 4th of July, America. Stay socially distant. And then they just shoot the drone up like 1,000 feet. And you see that there is no one around me. I'm in the middle of a lake. And then we shoot up to the mountain scene in Utah. Fucking gorgeous. Fucking.
That's a cool shot, man. I'm glad you made it out alive.
Taught Jesus Trejo how to swim.
Can he swim now?
He can swim now. He's not the best, obviously, but he was in the pool swimming. We were at a truck stop in New Orleans, and he learned how to swim. Not the best. And then yesterday, 2 days ago, he jumped off a cliff with a life preserver on, jumped off a cliff into the water, popped up like, I mean, he wears goggles and a snorkel when he swims because he likes to see what's below him. But yeah, it was great, dude.
No, that's good instincts. I don't mind a lake. I fucking hate, I will not swim in the ocean. I just will not do
that.
It.
These lakes, the lakes in Utah are amazing because I think they're kind of man-made. And so there's no like predators in them. So you can just swim out in the middle.
Locals threw dynamite in there to fish and now there's nothing left.
Yeah, I don't think there's any.
No, that's not really Mormon-like. You know, when I was flying up the coast on Malibu, the instructor pointed out, he goes, look at that riptide. And I actually saw what it looked like from the air.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. And it was so fucking wide. You know, they go, oh, yeah, it's pulling me out to sea. So I just kind of do the side stroke underwater to get out of this fucking thing. Dude, this thing looked like it was like 50 yards wide.
Do the side stroke.
Well, by the time you got out of it, like it was good to see it over top. So it's like, yeah, if you swam up the coast or down, eventually you would be out of it. But how far out would you be?
You'd be out pretty fucking far.
When you're in it, how can you tell that you're not swimming back into it? It's just.
You don't even realize you're in it. I've been in a riptide a couple times and you don't realize you're in it until literally all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, I'm like 100 yards from the beach. And you're like, oh shit. And there's an automatic panic that goes in. And then you're like, all right, calm down. Let's just swim sideways. And we're just going to swim sideways for a long time. And then we're going to tread water. And we're going to come in slowly on our back. If you do it on your back, that's the one, number one thing people, it's so much easier to swim on your back. Like to get on your back and just swim. Because when you're on your front, especially with waves, open water, you have water splashing in your face. It can kind of freak you out.
Dude, it's terrifying. Yeah, and then you're in your back looking like a giant fucking sea urchin. Fuck that, dude.
Dude, I did a triathlon.
There's a woman that I follow on Instagram. Well, it's actually Discover Sharks is what I follow, but they post her shit all the time. And dude, she is in the fucking water with like three tiger sharks and a couple other really aggressive ones. And she is like reading these things being like, okay, they're all intimidated by that one. That's the alpha male one. They're all going to do what he does or whatever. I'm really paraphrasing here. I have to, and like, she would make like these fucking moves. And she was like controlling her space where, I was just sitting there like my fucking heart in my throat going, this woman is going to get eaten alive. Like, what in the fucking
I've been in the
doing?
Open water with sharks without a cage. And it's oddly enough, very calming. It's not as scary as you'd think. Like for some reason, you can tell when a shark is being aggressive. When a shark wants to come at you, I was in the open water with a great white shark once, and it was moving with such intention that almost like when you see a running back or when you watch what's his name? Is it Jamal? Who's the running back quarterback for the Ravens?
Oh yeah, I it's the off season. I immediately forget everybody's name.
Yeah, but when you
they
see
my
him,
pick to go to the Super Bowl last year.
When you see him move, a shark moves when it's being predatory. It moves like that in the ocean. And then sometimes when you see like with blue sharks or like Galapagos sharks, they're just like literally drunk frat boys, just ha, and you can grab them by the nose, move them over. But man, great whites. I've been in the water with great whites a lot, like a lot. And that fucking animal is king of the fucking world. That animal's scary as fucking shit.
Now go watch killer whales eating great white sharks.
Dude, how about that? And then did you hear that the killer whale killed one great white shark and then they lost all sharks for the rest of the, like all sharks disappeared from this island because one killer whale killed a great white shark. And they said it looked like it was playing with it. Like it killed it and was playing with the body. Like it was just having fun.
What they do is, well, they're so fucking smart. There'll be like two or three of them. And what they do is they go from underneath or something. They drive it to the surface where it has no exit plan. And then they bite the thing's fins off. And it's just fucking brutal. It's just like, to see a great white shark scared.
Oh.
That's like when you see like one of the great boxers of all time, you know, eventually they get old and that young buck comes in and there's that thing late in the fight where you just see this guy who's never lost, has a look on his face you've never seen before. That's what seeing a great white shark getting hunted and seeing this thing like, you know, like looking over its shoulder, like, hey, we're just fucking around, right, man? I know I act tough, but I know you guys are the tougher, all right, leave me alone. It was really, I don't know, it was weird. It was the first time I ever sort of rooted for a great white shark, unless it was human beings. I mean, if it's going after a swimmer, I'm rooting for the swimmer, but if it's like fishermen and shit like that and people fucking with the fish, you know, even the people leaning over, putting their hand on its fucking nose, I want that arm to come off.
We had a guy in
nerve damage.
We had a guy in South Africa who had his pinky just, it was like down to the bone. And I said, we were swimming with great white sharks. And I said, what happened? And he goes, well, you know, I can take them and move their noses up when they come up to the boat. I can push their noses up. And he was doing it. And he said, and one time I pushed their nose up and it moved. And my finger just got caught in between two teeth. And I pulled it out and it just ripped everything off of it. I went
like a chicken wing.
Oh, my nipple started tingling. I was like, no thanks. Dude, when we went swimming with great white sharks in South Africa, the second time I did it, we went in the water and the visibility was bad. So you would only see the shark when it bit on the cage at the last moment, much like a shark attack. It would just come from the dark and you'd just be sitting on the cage and you'd just see, whoom, and you'd be like, motherfucker. It was terrifying.
Wow.
Oh, it was. There's a great picture I'll send you of me in the cage with the shark biting onto the cage that shot from the top of the boat. And it's just, huh, and you're, it is. And that was like fucking surreal.
That's something I want to do, but I don't want the shark to get hurt or get stuck in the fucking cage. I just would like to go into the shit, be safe, observe it. I don't want to fuck with them and get them all riled up, but I know don't they have to do that on some level to get them over there, right?
For great whites, they lure them into the cage with shit, with bait. For the Galapagos, I'll tell you right now, in Haleiwa, the greatest experience I've ever had is North Shore Shark Adventures. They take you out a mile out. Always, every time I've been, it's calm. And there are probably 30 Galapagos sharks. Those are sharks that are the size of a pickup truck. And there are 30 of them just surrounding a cage, just sitting around a cage, hanging out. I go with my daughters one time, right? I've taken my daughters out twice. So every time I go to Honolulu, I do it. It's the funnest fucking thing. And and they have a great Hawaiian ice place like right next to there. So you go there, get a Hawaiian ice, get the pineapples on the ride back over at Dole Plantation, get back to your, oh, it's out of this world. So we go with the girls, get the girls in the cage, and they get out of the cage. And as soon as they get out of the cage, a fucking huge sperm whale just breaches next to the boat, just, and the girls are like, whoa. And then all of a sudden it comes underneath the cage. And we had just gotten out, comes underneath the cage, goes right by the cage and just lands. And the girls are losing their mind. I was like, thank God we weren't in that fucking cage. We'd been in that cage at that time. I would have been shitting my pants, watching a whale coming straight up from the bottom. And you're just going, don't fucking hit me. Don't swallow me. But yeah, I can't, when this ban ends, the first thing I'm doing is going to Hawaii. First thing I'm fucking doing.
It's hilarious. The first thing I'm going to do is I think I'm just going to go to a cigar bar. Just sit down and just fucking, I got to be honest with you. I have really enjoyed not traveling.
Yeah.
After 30 years of being in airports and stuff like that, I really enjoyed being home, but like I've had enough, man. So, I mean, I was on this thread last night, you know, when I was up at like 1 a.m. and everyone was talking about COVID, and the whole fucking text thread was just people in their egos questioning scientists. It was just like, and everybody just wants to be right. It's just like, why can't you just admit you don't have a medical degree?
Yeah.
And just fucking do what they say. You know, I went with the walk today with my wife and kids, and like there was just a couple of, they just fucking, you know, and they know you're looking at them, and I don't want to be the asshole being like, can you put a fucking mask on? But then you're walking by my kids. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah. They're just fucking, you know, they're trying to have like the first class of quarantining. Like, it doesn't quite apply to me, and I figured out these fucking angles. Like, they just have to be fucking different. They can't just be everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, just do this with everybody. And like, oh yeah, you guys are all sheep. I figured this fucking thing out. And, you know, as much as they're blaming Trump, it's like, I don't give a fuck who was in office. You can't like police people's fucking egos. You just can't do it. They got it all figured out, man.
Last night I was skateboarding around, had a few beers, and I was like, I'm gonna skateboard. I'm gonna just try to get some exercise in, go for a nice long skateboard. I'm coming back and I'm drunk and I fall off my skateboard and my flip-flops hit the ground. I didn't fall hard. I just fell forward, caught myself, but my flip-flops were there when they went clap, clap on the cement. And this woman comes out and goes, will you fucking stop it already? And I'm like, excuse me? She goes, you, that's enough, enough, you're done. And I was like, I didn't know if she knew that I was drunk. And I was like, I'm just trying to get home. She was like, no, you're not. You've been out here all night. And I go, I know I haven't. She goes, what the fucking fireworks? And I go, I'm skateboarding. She goes, how old are you? You're not skateboarding. I go, I'm 47. And she goes, you shouldn't be skateboarding if you're 47. And I go, hold on, wait. What are you? And she goes, you're not shooting on fireworks? And I said, no. And she goes, oh my God, just get yourself home.
That was fun. You know what? Because that was the point there where she realized she was wrong and she should have apologized and said, I'm sorry.
And she just belittled me for being 47 and skateboarding.
Dude, were you here last night with the fireworks?
Yes.
Dude, that was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
So much better when it's not organized by our country.
It literally, every year, like, you know, we go up on the roof, we sit there, I smoke a stogie and we watch them, but you know, we got the little one, so I didn't do it this year. And dude, it was like it, and it just kept going and going and going and going. When my kid got up at like 4 a.m, it was like quiet. I was like, oh, they finally stopped. Then I heard brruh, 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 boom.
Yeah.
My wife was in bed like, oh God, they're still doing it. It's just like, you know, people had months and months and months and months to build up to it. It was fucking amazing.
My tour bus driver stopped on our way from Hurricane back home, stopped in Vegas and got like $500 worth of fireworks. Told me, he said, in the middle of the night, look down towards Compton, it will be blowing up. And I got online and Compton was, I mean, better than any fireworks show I'd ever seen.
Yeah, it was incredible. I had my daughter out looking out her window. And that's the first time she's been like old enough to understand them.
Yeah.
We thought they were amazing. And then I was like, all right, you got to go to sleep now. And then she was like crying. I had to come back in. What are you crying about? She's like, Dad, you missing fireworks. I'm like, oh. I saw them, buddy. It's okay.
Hey, I have a weird question. So when you have a boy, because I only had girls, when you have a boy, do they ask you in the hospital whether you want to get him circumcised?
Yeah.
And or is that something you do after their like?
I think that's all up to you. So.
But they say that when you have them, they're like, you want them to, and you're like.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, you got to decide yes or no. And there's all, you know, it's the same type of shit. All these questions and you're like, I got to make these decisions. And then you look at your wife.
You had your decisions all about that made way before you. It wasn't like sprung on you and you're like, oh, fuck, quick.
What are No. We made all of those decisions. I'm not going to divulge one way or the other. I feel like that's his story to tell. And ladies, if you play your cards right, you might just get that answer someday. all right. I think that's it. I think we're out of time. Hey, my non-hat is off to you for going out there. And everybody, thank you. Everybody went out and showed up on Bert's tour. And everybody had a good time and did it safe. Unlike those couple of rebels over there.
Fucking raw doggers.
Raw doggers. that's so on brand for the two of them. It's like,
oh, it is.
I love the both of them.
That's what I love about Callan. You can't help but love him. But in his apology speech, he goes, a fucking fist bump. Why wasn't I thinking? A fist bump. I put it right to my face. God damn it.
He knows the people want to see his physique. He had to go out and show it to them.
Yeah, I love him. I texted him the morning I found out he got it. I texted him because I was nervous. He's like, buddy, you know you got it if you got it. And I was like, really? He's like, symptoms.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't because all I could think of was breaking his balls. And I was like, well, what if he gets a bad version and dies? Then I'm going to feel bad. So I'm waiting. If he doesn't die in the next 10 days, that's when I'm going to start trashing him.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I think both of them are fine now.
That's hilarious. All right, and then that'll be the new angle. I mean, I shook it off in 5 days. Fuck old people. All right, I have no answers. Don't listen to me. All right, that's the podcast, everybody. If anybody's selling one of these, oh, Jesus, just drop the phone there. I won't buy it. Look at that. That's like when you were a little kid. That's what your toy you wanted it to be.
That looks like it. And by the way, if you're looking for a good beer, let me make sure. If you're looking for a good beer, Food Fight.
And I thought that said
Fight. If you want to see a stud on a fucking surfboard behind a boat, Bill.
Yeah, I do. I want to see that.
Watch this, Bill. Drop the rope.
Oh, are you supposed to drop the rope? I thought you needed...
Drop the rope and then you just surf on it. It's fucking funny shit, Bill. I'll tell you what. We're going to do a
big athletic man, Bert. And you know what? That little thing was brought to you by Heath.
Heath, mine's melted because I have no air conditioning in this fucking house.
All right. You're in the witness protection house. Okay, we got to do a little read here before we go. Dude, if you want to do that LA show, I'm down.
All right, I'm going to set it up.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for watching another episode of the Bill.
Bert.
Pod.
Cast.